You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Atlas walls, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his cypress knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Well, the party gonna have out in the St. John's walls. Sasquatch doing his brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And, folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Descarty. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Super duper, super duper, like you would never believe, good buddy. I got to tell you something. I just had a bell go off in my head. I think we just reached a pinnacle of 6 years with our radio show. Is that correct?
7 years. Seven years.
Oh,
yeah, it was
God.
Last week. Yeah, last week this week, 7 years, yeah.
Well, here's my big question. How come we're not doing an anniversary show?
Well, you got to be on the show to have an anniversary show.
All right, well, I'll tell you what. Why don't we have a big surprise for everybody? Next week, we'll celebrate our... They say if you reach 7 years, Marco, you've got it licked. You got it licked. Well, if this is our seventh year, we got to do something real special next week. What do you think?
I think that's what we ought to do.
Can we do something special for our listeners around the globe?
Absolutely.
7 years. My God, that's wonderful. You know, I think we're the longest radio show pertaining to Bigfoot ever.
I don't know, but we're pretty close at least.
Well, that other guy that was on before us, he lasted for five. And
yep.
then we picked up, and we've gone two more than him, and he was the longest. I forget his name. Forgive me if you're listening. But, wow, what a pinnacle in our lives. You know, and I'm telling you something else. I was just sitting there listening to that little ditty about the Bigfoot stomp and
yep.
Bob Hallmark there in Paris, Texas. That guy was an ex-Navy SEAL, you know. And he was
yeah,
so...
Yeah, I know.
You know. He was so, oh, there's no such thing. And after he got his ass out there with us that night, boy, did he change his mind real quick.
I know. Well, a lot of people have done that.
I know.
I mean, through the
now,
years here.
Still, you know, I'm not getting any younger, and I'm trying to add this up. So from 1971 until now... Actually, it was in 67 when I first got involved with you. So from 67 till now is how many years?
Oh, gosh. I'm not a mental guy. Hold on. My phone is interrupting us here.
Phone is more important than the show, I know.
No, it's not. It's not important. It's got to get the phone out of range and put it on silent.
Okay. Well, anyhow, let me do the math as stupid as I am. 67 to 77 is 10 years, to 87 is 20, to 97 is 30, to 2007 is 40, and so we're 43, I'm 46 years into this business. Can you believe that, Bill?
I know.
This is
a long time.
46 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think I've forgotten what most people have learned about this industry. But you know what? I keep on keeping on, as you do, and so many of our fine friends. You know, I hear we got Bruce Schilt on the phone.
Absolutely.
Chuck Creel is listening also. Chuck, kudos to you. I hope you got your caps on. I made sure that they sent it to you as quick as possible. You look real good. We're going to use you as a model. That boy is always out there doing the best he can.
Absolutely.
And, you know, he just doesn't get enough accolades. And I want to say...
The Bigfoot Hotline has been hot, hot, hot.
Oh, man. You don't have to tell
me. I had a call just before the show.
Yeah, I know. Well, there was about six of them today that I took that you didn't get. Okay.
Oh, really? Well, I got four or five myself.
Then there was some girl named Kristen looking for
you.
Yes,
I gave her some information.
Well,
the
writer giving her, but I'll tell you what, she was hot and heavy looking for you, and
yep.
then there was some other guy looking for you. I'm trying to remember, Justin, something like that.
Oh gosh, he's from the Four Corners.
Well, look it, man, you've got yourself your own radio show. We should have Bigfoot.
Well, no. What happened is Justin is one of the guys out there in the Four Corners, and I was trying to put him together with Dave and Brenda.
You know, I wanted to talk to you openly about this and to all of my listeners around the globe. You know, I appreciate everybody telling us about what's going on and everything in their areas. And then when I take them up on their offer, I can't personally go there to send one of my other team members because I'm on a pre-scheduled situation. I get a guy, you know, my time, take from my time, and these guys go out there on their own money and time and try to get there going, and then they say, oh, no. You can't come out here on Indian land. So, please, guys, you know what? Let me know that prior. Because I went to hell trying to get somebody out there to help and assist you guys. And, my God, my guy calls me back and says, you don't want him on the land. His exact words were, they don't want a white man on the land. So I don't know what's going on, because I've never had that problem. Didn't have that problem with the Blackfeet, didn't have it with the Navajo, didn't have it with the Cherokee, didn't have it with the Apaches, didn't have it with the Cree, the Ojibwe, and the list goes on and on. So I don't know what the hell's going on here, but get back to me and talk to me about this thing. Don't do the guys that work with me. Let me know this story, because I'm really put out after this, because I put a lot of time involved trying to make this happen for you guys, and you know who you are. I don't know if you knew about that, Marco.
No, I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, and it kind of ticked me off a little bit, but that's okay, you know. That's the reason why we have erasers and back of pencils. Everybody makes mistakes now and then, don't they?
Yes, they do. I mean,
including you and I.
Absolutely. We made more mistakes than we could probably count.
You bet, buddy. You bet. I understand you got a hell of
a... Hey, Tom, I'd like to make a little announcement there for Dave and Brenda. They gave us a picture last week or a little chart last week for their conference, and they have a conference coming up on the 28th and the 29th of September. And if they go up on www.bigfootlive.com, our radio page, and go to what's on this week, underneath the listing tonight, underneath tonight's listing, they'll see a link in there, and it'll have all the details of when the conference is and all that. Okay? And the second thing is they've also posted a video more recently, within the week, and that's the video of the creature they have walking for quite a long time there, quite a long piece of video. So those two things are up on the new things that I just put up today on the website. Sorry to interrupt.
No, you didn't interrupt. I mean, that's great. But, you know, what happens when people want to go out and assist these people? They tell them, no, don't come? I have my druthers on this. I'm really put out over this thing. So, David or Brenda, if you're listening tonight, you call me personally. I'd like to talk to both of you tonight about this whole situation. Without any further ado, let's get out. Do we have a Dean out there from Michigan?
Our first guest is Tim.
Okay, let's talk. Let's talk.
Tim from Mississippi. Tim was on here before, if you recall, and he's been out more recently and has some more information. More things has happened here. Tim, how are you tonight?
I'm doing okay. How are you guys?
Hey, Tim, how are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for asking. By the way, how's the humidity there?
It's been pretty rainy for about the last 2 weeks, but the sun's been peeking out.
Isn't that
a little bit here and there?
Let me guess, Tim. It's 88 with 97% humidity.
Yes, you must have been watching the news.
I've been there so often down there in Gulfport and all the rest of that area. I became a wrung-out sponge, if you know what I'm talking about.
Right.
I give you guys a lot of kudos, boy, to put up with that kind of weather. I'm serious as hell. I've said to myself, forget about these areas that are sultry, tropical, and got so much humidity that it breaks the dial. I'll wait until winter time to go down that area, believe me.
It gets pretty steamy.
Oh, boy. You know what, Tim? People don't realize it, okay? They do not realize it. You know, I've been out in your area. We were filming. Here it is midnight. We got a bonfire going. And the cameraman says, well, can you get a little bit closer? And I'm drenched with that water coming all over me from my perspiration. And God forbid if you walk, because now you're slushing in between your legs because of all that shit all over you. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That bug spray and that DEET and everything else all over you. And then now that's mixing in with the sweat and the grit and the grime. People don't realize that, Tim.
Right.
How do you describe it?
Man, it's kind of, I guess how you get used to it, after a while, it's like nothing you can do about it, So you just kind of get used to it, man, because that's,
You take a lot of showers, don't you?
Right, yeah. Exactly.
And I've learned a lot now, believe it or not, even in my old years now, Tim, they have a lot of the people in the South have showers outside their homes. Do you know why?
Why is that?
Because they have their husbands or significant others and friends shower up before they allow them into the house.
Right, right.
They want to make sure that they've got the lice soap and all that kind of stuff, because they don't want to have any chiggers or ticks or
right.
Into
yeah, I understand
house.
That.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Been through it all, Tim. What's going on down your neck of the woods, huh?
Okay, well, I've went twice since the last time I talked to you guys.
Uh-huh.
And like I said, keep in mind, I'm not a researcher or anything like that. It's just my experience is what made me follow up on it. So anyway, The second time I went, I just kind of went to the opening. It's like, you know, it's like you walk over this big, long field about 100 yards, and then there's an opening, and there's this big pine tree poured over the pathway. And right next to that, there's like a stump where a tree had been pushed off. So what I did the second time, I had some beef jerky, and I just made the whoop sound a few times, and it kind of echoed out through the forest. And as I was laying the beef jerky on the stump right behind me, I just heard a bunch of commotion. I looked back, and I just see a bunch of leaves falling, you know, like something shook trees or something. So that kind of spooked me, so I left right then, you know, because it was like right behind me kind of. And anyway, my son, he wanted, about an hour later, he wanted to walk. He's like, you know, let's go walk through the woods again. So we walked back there, and this time we went deeper down, and I saw the most odd structure. It was like two pine trees next to each other, and one of them was pulled down, and it like created a big, huge X. And my son noticed it, and then when we looked next to it, kind of on the ground, we saw like a perfect, like some branches placed in a perfect X. So about this time, we were like, I can't explain it. It's just this feeling we get just to leave. So we were walking back down the path, and I remember the first time I told you guys I found two feathers on the trail. So this time, as we were walking, you know, I'm looking down for tracks or whatever, and we find two more feathers, okay? So we pick them up, and we keep walking down the path, and there's a branch laid across the trail, like a skinny kind of branch. So we stopped there for a second because there was a spider web across the path, and we were kind of trying to, like a huge spider web, so we were going around it. And as soon as we crossed the log, something hit in the bushes, like probably 2 or 3 feet off into the bushes, like something was thrown. Just imagine, if you will, like a baseball coming through the bushes. You know, we could hear something traveling through the bushes, and I don't know if it was a rock or what, but someone threw something. My son looked at me. He was like, "Dad, that's real spooky." He's like, "What was that? Let's go." So he and I started running, actually, you know, out of the woods. It was that, you know, spooky. So, okay, and at that point, I decided not to even go back there again. So the next weekend, this was last Saturday, you just called me. I just couldn't help it. I went back there one more time. And this time I happened to have a sausage biscuit from McDonald's. And I laid it down. I did the whoop call. But as I was walking into the woods, I started hearing this abnormal sounding crow sound. It was like just echoing through the whole forest. And it was almost like a human imitating a crow, just super loud. So anyway, I walked in there and I put the sausage biscuit on the stump, and I left again. Same thing. When I get with my son, he was like, "Dad, let's walk through the woods again." And I didn't tell him like what I was placing the food there. So I walked back down there, and the first thing I noticed, and this was like 30 minutes later, the biscuit was gone, no crumbs around there, anything like that. So he and I walked back there some more. And it's funny that you brought up the humidity and the heat, because we walked back deeper past the big trees that were put into an X, and all of a sudden, I don't know if this has anything to do with research, anything. Keep in mind, it's a hot day, and all of a sudden, it just gets chilly on the path. And both of us thought that was weird. He was like, "It's getting cold, Dad," so we turned around again. And this time, on the way out, I took a picture of this tree that had the bark pulled out on it, very weird. I just took a picture of it, and we started smelling something weird, and we just kind of left. Okay, just the other night, I was, you know, just kind of looking through the pictures again, and I'm not sure, man. I mean, I've got one other person to look at it so far, but I almost think I caught one on camera, man. You know, it's like you can see just the shape that stands out against the forest, just like a brown. And you can see like a black face, and it's when it was like dark brown. I'm not sure if that's, I'm not saying that's what it is. But
is it like a silhouette?
Excuse me?
Is it like a silhouette?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. I mean, even if you don't, like even without the picture magnified, I mean, that's how it jumped out. I just happened to study the picture, and you could just see just like a gorilla shape almost. And you can see where the branches are blocking out the shape, and, you know, the rest of his body comes across the other side, whatever. I'm not sure, but it was just a weird coincidence. I just saw that like maybe 2 days, and that's when I called you. You know, again, I just had to let you know about that. But
let me ask you, Tim, what kind of camera do you use?
Actually, I had my my phone, man. I have an Android cell phone, and you know, like I said, I wasn't really serious. I was just taking that just in case, you know, I saw anything, whatever. Like I said, I haven't been into research or anything like that. This is what I've been doing in what maybe a month. You know, so, and I wasn't even expect. I was more taking pictures of the tree breaks and tree twists and all that. I didn't think I would actually ever catch a picture of one of them. You know, and like I said, I'm not saying that's what that is. And another odd thing is, I told you about the one that was at the hospital in the middle of the city.
Yeah.
That was exactly how the X was that I found deep in the woods. It was the exact same way. It was like a pine tree next to it, and you can see where something pulled it down, you know, just to make a big, huge X that you can see from, like, pretty far off, you know.
Wow. So you had a hell of an experience.
Oh, man, it satisfied all of my curiosities. You know, because I was really, yeah, I guess you would say, like, a skeptic or whatever, but I really believe that they exist now because I was looking at it rationally, like, how many animals can throw something? You know, that, and this is a place where I know there was no one else back there. You know, it's on private property. You know, I know for a fact. You know, and it's maybe, like I said, I'm going to say a mile away from a river, like a miniature river in Mississippi, too. So,
you know, I'm gonna tell you a story, if I may, Tim. And I know we got a bunch of other people on tonight. And we'll get to them. Do you ever watch the Shelby, the Swamp Man on History Channel?
No, sir, I haven't seen that one. No.
Okay. Well, his name is Shelby Stanga. The guy is wild, okay? And he's out there in the swamps out there in Louisiana. And this guy has been bit a ton by snakes. Water moccasins, cottonmouths, rat snakes, list goes on. Now, I caught one of the shows, and it was people had called me about this. They said, Tom, try to catch the show that aired yesterday. Well, I was out on expedition myself, so I didn't get a chance to do that. But I'm going to find out through my agent. He mentioned that he had seen a thing that looked like a monkey or a gorilla three times in his lifetime. And this guy is a man of the swamps. And I know when I've seen him, you know, corral pigs, wild boar, snakes, snapping turtles, big ones, and the guy ain't afraid of nothing. I'd like to get up with this guy and see what he actually does know, because I believe that this guy has seen it, and it's down there not too far from where you're at. I'll tell you that straight up. And not only that, Tim, I want to thank you, and kudos going your way for a guy that's just been short in this business, short time, but you, at least you're out there, man. I can say, compared to most people, that's an awful lot, and a lot of kudos go out to you, son. Really.
Well, thank you.
Well, listen, just mute yourself out, and we'll bring you back at the end of the show here. Marco has a round table with all these people, and we can all do some collaborating, all right?
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for sharing with us, Tim.
No problem, brother.
What a great guy. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Tim from Mississippi. Short time in the business, but he sounds like a guy with a lot of tenure, because he's got the balls to get out there and do what a lot of people can't. How is Dean out there? We have him, Bill?
Yes, we do. I was getting ready for the commercial, but that's okay. We can do that
towards the end. I want to talk to all these people. I haven't had a chance to see you talk to them every day.
Dean's on the line right now. Hi, Dean.
There.
How you doing?
Hey, Dean, how are you?
I'm pretty good. How you doing?
Well, if I felt any better, I'd have to see a doctor. Tell me about what's going on, son.
Well, I didn't see it, but my friend of mine, he's a bait bear, you know, he's a bear guy. He's got cameras and, you know, bait piles all over the woods. And I think
what kind of bear are you talking about, black or brown?
Black bears.
Black bear. How big are they? 350, 400?
Yeah, some get up to 600.
Uh-huh. How's he baiting them?
It's mostly granola and honey and syrups and stuff like that.
How's he go out? Does he bay them with dogs or what?
No, he just baits for hunters. You know, they sit in a tree stand over a bait pile.
I love it. Let me tell you why. Can I share this with you, Dean?
Sure.
The man that indoctrinated me into this business, his name is Ivan Marks. He's brought over 3,500 bear and cougar out of the land. Up in Alaska, he was the game warden up there. And I used to go bear hunting with this guy. I was scared shitless. I'll tell you a true story. I was a guy from Brooklyn. The only green thing that I knew was a park. You know what I'm saying? Till I got out there and actually got out in the brush with him. And seeing how he did this. And he used those blue ticks, those dogs. Boy, he trained those things, and they can go after a trail, and they treat them bears, you know.
They run them over here, right? The first week is no hunt and no dog, but then the second week the dog hunters are out, and I can sit here and listen to them, run all day long.
Yeah, and then here's the thing that blew my mind. Then he put a tripod up and put the rifle up, and, back then, now I'm talking about, the big this, 1971, he was getting $1,200 for a bear hunt. And he guaranteed it, and, of course, he always came through. And he put up that tripod, and he put up a rifle there, and he said, here, just pull the trigger, because he had it all. And then, boom, you see this big bear coming down. It was amazing, you remember what the old days were like to get a bear?
I've never shot one.
But you're out there amongst them where they're doing it, huh?
Oh, yeah, they come right up. I've had them push the fan right out of my window before when I was in bed.
Wow. All right, so tell me what's going on out there.
Well, I guess, I think it was over the weekend. He has his son, because he's, I don't know how many bait piles they got, but a bunch. So it takes a couple, two or three of them to get everything baited. And his son was going out to one of the bait piles there, and he had his son. And I guess they're going through this pretty big forest. I think they said it was big hemlock trees or something, but a big canopy where there was, no underbrush and stuff. You could see quite a ways. And he's walking out there, and he looks about 100 yards in front of him, and there was something standing, I think he said it was like a birch tree on an angle, and it was standing there, by that tree. And I guess he sort of freaked out, and he reached around to grab his son's hand, and as soon as he turned around, the thing was gone, just vanished, just like that.
Now let me ask you something. Did he have his gun with him?
No, he just had a bucket of bait.
It's a bucket of bait. He's out there baiting his spots, but doesn't bring a gun with him.
Well, I don't know if he had one or not, to tell the truth, but I don't know if he carried one.
But you know what they
not.
Carry with them now, Dean?
Pardon?
You know what they carry with them now instead of a gun?
Well, probably mace or something.
A can spray. Bear spray. You hit it right on the head. Come here, Mr. Bear. Let me spray some of this stuff on you. I love it.
It was funny because that last guy, he said the same thing. He said that the woods was sort of, it got cold. I mean, it's been like 90 up here and humid. It's been miserable.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing that the last guy, that Tim, was saying, that, the temperature changed, and then there was that, musky smell, and it was your typical sighting, I guess.
Yeah. Now, how long you been working on this stuff, Dean?
Well, since when I saw him was in 2008, 2009, so since then.
Has it changed your life in any way, Dean?
It changed the way I think about, what's the king of the woods. That's for sure.
It's called America's King Kong, son. I love it. Well, look here.
Plus he got another picture. It wasn't too, I don't think it was on the same bait pile, but it was close, and he got another picture of one.
Has Marco Bill seen this picture?
No, not yet.
When are you going to show it to us?
Well, he ran out of printer paper, so I got to get it.
Just email it over.
Well, he could, I guess.
Yeah, this way save him some paper. What do you think?
All right, but anyways, it's under, like I was telling Marco Bill, I believe these things can cloak themselves where they can go invisible.
Mm-hmm.
Because it happened to me out in the woods one time. But anyways, the same thing. You can see this thing walking through there, but it's got It looks like a bubble over it, and everything's distorted, but you can make out that there's something walking up, right? You can see, like, the sirens and stuff. But it's just crazy.
Well, listen, I appreciate you sharing your story with us and keep us informed, and anything comes down the line, just give Marco a call, would you?
I sure will.
Just mute yourself out, because you're going to have a little round table, and maybe some people at the end here will have some questions for you, okay?
All right. Well, I think I might be going to bed here.
All right, Dean, I understand. Don't worry. Make sure you got the air conditioner on.
Yeah, I do.
All right, be well. Thanks so much.
Okay, see you later.
All right, buddy. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Dean from MI. He had some experiences out there with that bear hunter. Let's see if we have anything down the line here. Marco, what's happening with this Mac in Tennessee?
Well, by golly, Mac is always busy. Hey, Mac, are you there, my friend?
I'm here.
Hey, Mac, how are you?
Hey, Tom. Good to talk to you.
Well, that's good.
Marco, too.
Well, I want to ask you something. I thought you were from Mississippi, and Marco's got you here from Tennessee. Is that where you're at?
I've been noticing that, too. I've never lived in Tennessee.
Okay,
but
that's a typo.
Let's say Central Mississippi. How's that?
Okay, that was a typo.
That's a typo, Tom.
I'm not
going to tell all the locations and everything. I just don't. Central Mississippi is close enough. How's that?
How you been, Mac? Talk to me, man. It's always a delight to hear your voice and to hear your stories, because I miss you, buddy.
I'm good, and I think and I tell you what, I had a tip for you about 2 months ago. This is not anything with Bigfoot. You know, I'm a horse person. But I'm going to tell you, this horse, Kobe's back. He's going to be the next Triple Crown winner, Futurity and Breeders' Cup winner. So be ready. Kobe's back.
Okay,
now, I'm going to change the subject.
Good. So what's doing Kobe's back? Talk to me. What's been happening to your neck?
Well, Friday night, midnight, I guess it'd be Saturday morning, I'm coming back home. And I get to this bridge, seeing that bridge, and about 60 yards in front of me, here comes the big red eyes, like silver dollar, comes up a bank, and I'm like a 10-foot bank, and just hesitates for a minute, and then takes across the road and goes down the bank, and there's timber on both sides, but it's right where it went to was a big, huge acorn tree. Now, this was not a deer. I know deer. I've hunted deer on the life. This thing was, I thought it was a bear for a second. I said, that's not a bear. We don't have that any bear. But the thing that gets away was the eyes. I've seen those eyes before. And you know what I'm talking about. If you see those eyes, you'll never forget it. They don't reflect like, and not a reflector. They glow just like a utility trailer light. I'm talking about just glow. But there's a little story behind this, Tom. That was on a bridge that both sides of that bridge, my great-grandfather used to own all that land on both sides of it. Now, if you went 3 or 4 miles straight through the woods north, it would be right exactly where I saw the juvenile with the red eyes 2 years ago. And right where I saw the juvenile, it was headed up to the graveyard where my great-grandmother and great-grandfather were buried. Now, one more thing to this. When I was born, my great-grandmother died not just the same day, not just the same hour, but she died the very minute that I was born. And there was a lot of news at that time, but it was in all the newspapers, everything. And since then, I felt like I've had some kind of connection to her. And I've had this feeling that she might have had a encounter of sometimes on that property. And I get this feeling she's trying to let me know that. But to get back to the story,
Mac, before you get back to that story, I just want to share something with you if I can.
Okay.
By you telling me that story you just did just gave me goose flesh. I got to tell you that straight up.
Well,
wow.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. And my grandmother, it was like all the newspapers, my great-grandmother died the very minute I was born, and I feel attachment to her every so often and also to my mother.
Do you still have that connection now?
Yes.
Wow.
Now, let me tell you what happened. The next morning, I got up real early, went back to that bridge, the first 100 yards before you get to that bridge. I looked. There had not been a deer, a rabbit, a coon, nothing. There was grass 6 inches to 12 inches high. There's no dirt that you can see. It's mostly grass with just dew on it. But I found one place where something had come through there, and about 5 feet away from that, away from the pavement, I saw its footprint in the edge of a ant bed. And I took a quick picture, but it's not a good picture. But I saw it went on down and laid down. And let me back up here. When I did see that creature, I pulled over toward that creature. And it's not a lot of traffic on that road. And he was hunkered down and looked up at me, those eyes. But I had a car coming at me on one side, and I had a car behind me. So I had to get out of the way quick. So I drove up to the top of the intersection, turned around real quick, pulled out my gun and pulled out my camera, and I just started videoing as I went back down to that bridge. And I don't think I got anything on the video because it's just too dark and everything. But one other thing that was a clue to me, rabbit, that oak tree, there's when it was just tons of acorns, early acorns, and it hadn't really started falling yet, but something had reached up higher than anybody could hardly reach, maybe 3-4 feet higher than I could reach. And if you know, oak tree limb, like about 3/4 inch limb, you cannot hardly reach those things. But something had snapped that thing. It was just fresh. And it pulled those acorns off of that oak tree right where I saw the footprints.
Wow. Wow. You know, when you just talked about that, kind of made me feel about that song. It was a tall oak tree that's bringing me down. You remember that song?
Right, right. But it's what has bothered me ever since is I started putting all these things together.
And what'd you come up with? What's the conclusion?
Well, I believe from that bridge back, you know, I believe the genius that I saw, I said, look like a 10-year-old boy with fur and big red eyes. I think he might be running that creek. And I finally, 2 years later, got to see it again. And I think there may be more, but this one was bigger. But it wasn't huge. It was tall, but it wasn't huge. That's just kind of what I'm feeling. But I feel like my great-grandmother had encounters sometime in the past, just never told anybody.
Well, I bet you did, too. And I'm going to tell you what some of the Indians used to call it down in your neck of the woods. They used to say, deep in night, around midnight, the Uinunna travels the waterways. So keep your eyes sharp, and you just may get the chance to see it. It's called the Uinunna. Mac, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. You've been there for us forever. You've been like my own brother. Better, as a matter of fact.
I'm going to stay with you, too.
For being with us, my friend.
Don't forget, Kobe's back now. Next year's Triple Crown winner.
Yeah. Well, listen, you stay close because we're going to have a little caucus at the end. And,
okay.
You know, Bill does that with all the people, a little round table. We got to get to some of the more people here that I haven't talked to in a long time. Thank you so much, brother. Talk to you soon. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Mac out there in Mississippi, just like my own brother. Let's go to commercial, Bill.
Here we go.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
And we're back.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, I never tout my movies much anymore, but they speak for themselves. You know, I'm a three-time award winner, best documentary, best director. It speaks for itself. But if you don't advertise, you don't tell people about it, they'll never know about it, okay? And I want you people to go up to searchingforbigfoot.com. You're going to see six movies that we've got underneath our belt already, and three of them, like I told you, our best documentaries. There's some up there that are incredible. They'll answer a lot of your questions. This one that Bill just talked about, that little ditty advertising, Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax, is that whole ordeal about that goofball that was out here just advertising not too long ago that he's got another Bigfoot and a baby Bigfoot and a double genre. What do you call that thing? It had two different male and female.
Amorphodite.
I mean, ladies and gentlemen, this guy's a kook. But that's okay. He got your interest, I guess, apparently. But then he came out and said it was all bullshit, as usual. You want to hear the real story, behind-the-scenes story, you go out and get this movie. And I'll tell you what, you won't be bad you did. And all you haters out there that don't like Tom Biscardi and Searching for Bigfoot, why don't you go out and buy it and give it to somebody you hate? And then you'll find out that you may become a good person. What do you think of that, Bill?
I think it's a good one.
Well, without any further ado, let's go north to my brother from another mother. Haven't talked to this man in a long, long time. Hello, Bruce Schilt.
Hello, Tom.
Sounds like you're in a well, are you?
No, I'm in the bedroom.
Same thing. Don't go there, son. Hello, Echo. How you been, buddy?
Good.
Yeah,
Am I still echoing? Maybe I'm too far from the phone.
Well, why don't you get a little bit closer so the world can hear you?
Well, I got my face about 6 inches from it.
Attaboy, that'll do. What's going on up there?
Oh, there's a lot of stories going on around here. It's just usual, you know, people seeing Bigfoot here and there now and then, you know, and down over by Hiram's there, there was a Bigfoot around his old cabin down there, and I took a few pictures of that, and Halloween, there was a Bigfoot down around Star School. That's down the creek, you know, from...
Yeah, but that's almost a year ago. Anything recent?
This is recent. It was not maybe a month or two ago.
Well, you said Halloween, Bruce.
Well, yeah, this was a different one.
Gotcha. All right. Well, you know, let me tell you what's going on down there in your neck of the woods. You know, it's... the creatures that migrated up there to get cooled off from that damn heat, the ones that could travel, they'll be leaving there between the next 2-3 months when the cold sets in, the cold snap hits. So keep your eyes and ears close to the ground because this is when they start to migrate. You know this, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Hey,
yeah,
Bruce,
they're all
you ever thunk
there
it?
With tours from
7 years we've been on the air.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that?
Yeah, been on the air quite a while.
You know, what the hell's going on, Bruce? You know, I get a call from one of your neighboring tribes about 2 days ago, And I contact them, and everything was cool. And I said, well, listen, I'm going to send somebody over because I'm preoccupied. And they said, oh, yeah, that's fine, Tom. No problem. We'll get it all done. Next thing I know, in the morning, they say they don't want no white man on the land. What do you think's going on, Bruce?
Well, you know, I can't speak for anybody but myself, Tom. I don't know what's going on.
Well, do I have any problem with you and your with your tribe?
No, you ain't got no problem with me. Just, you know, been working, 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 you know, like, you know how it is.
How's Running Bear doing?
Oh, he's doing good. He's supervisor over at the Taco John's. And Donna's got a job at our new hotel, Heritage. What's the name of it? Holiday Inn Express.
Oh, my God. When did they put that up?
Just now. I mean, they started it last winter, and they just finished it today. They were still working on a few little things, but it's been open for a couple weeks now. Or no, it's been over a month now. I guess it's booked through the year.
It's already sold out for the year?
Yeah.
Wow, isn't that great?
Yeah, it is.
That's super. I'm glad to hear that. How's your sweet daughter?
Oh, she's just as beautiful as ever, and she's a junior now, and she's going to school and doing real good, top of her class.
Well, let me ask you this. How many boyfriends does she got?
Oh, shit. Oh, excuse my language. I don't know, Tom. They all after her.
Well, let me ask you, do you keep your gun full of bullets?
Yeah, I told her. I said, when you get another boyfriend, I tell him my dad's a hunter. He's a bear trapper. He hunts Bigfoot, so careful. She does. She tells him that.
You bet. And tell him what you can't do. I'll be there to back you up, brother. You know that.
Oh, yeah.
They better not mess with that little girl.
Oh, no. They respect her. She's a pretty feisty little girl. She beats boys up and everything else, you know.
Oh, my God.
I mean,
God,
literally makes them cry.
How old is she now?
She's, how old is she, dear? She's 16. She'll be 17 in September.
You know, let me ask you a question. Since you're only the dad, why is it most of us, we just don't know the age of our kids? How come?
I don't know.
Hey, what did she make tonight? She make any good things for it? She make any fry bed?
Nah, I don't know.
Do you know what you ate tonight? Do you know what day it is today? And do you know where you are?
Yeah.
Where are you?
You know, if I forgot and you needed to know, I could tell you a lie and you'd never know it.
You know what, Bruce? You made my day, man. How's the dinosaur hunter doing up there? You hear from him anymore?
Oh, them dinosaur hunters are, they're kind of in bad shape.
What happened?
The dinosaur hunters that I knew, one of them, I hate to say anything, but, you know, he's down and out, and he's not hunting dinosaurs no more, and his dad that he hunts with is,
he'll be out getting them horns
either.
Then.
Not right now. So
no horns? You know. When do they shed?
What's that?
When do the elk shed?
Oh, I don't. They're probably shedding now.
Yeah, that's what I figured. All right, Bruce. Well, look here. Do me a favor. Say hello to Donna. Kiss the your little sweetheart of a girl. Tell her to be good, and tell Running Bear I'm very proud of him. And don't kick the dogs. Leave them alone. Okay.
Don't kick the dogs?
Don't kick them.
Better not kick the dogs.
Oh, Jesus. Don't do that. Listen.
Yeah, we still got our dogs. They're
how many you got of them? Nine of them?
No, I don't know. I haven't counted them lately. Six. They're going downhill. Donna won't let me bring any more strays home.
You made my night, brother. Hey, just mute yourself out. Maybe I'm sure there's somebody around the globe that want to talk to you around this round table pretty soon. I got to talk to these two more guests, okay?
Okay, that's, what is it, star 8 or star?
I have no idea.
No, no, I got it. I got it, Bruce. I'll mute you.
Okay.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, an old friend, man. He's like my brother. Bruce Schilt's been with us for a long time. He's up there in Montana. Without any further ado, let's get out there to VA, Virginia. Talk to Anthony. He's like my son. Let's see what's going on out there. What's happening, son?
Hey, Tom. Good to hear from you.
Can you hear your voice?
Can you hear me, Tom?
Loud and clear. It says, good to hear your voice. What's going on out there?
Well, not much, too much has gone since we've been last out. Unfortunately, my friend has been badly injured, and so it's kind of limited our time in the woods there. But,
wait a minute. How was he badly injured?
There was a branch that one of the creatures had broken off of his tree that was nearby his house, okay? It was a very, very huge branch, okay? And the interesting thing about this branch is that it wasn't broken downwards like it was pulled down. He noticed that it was broken like if it was pulled upwards. You know, and then this huge branch just, you know, is right there at the bottom of the tree. And, you know, while he's removing this huge branch, you know, he hurt his back really bad, you know, to the point where, you know, he missed some time from work. And, you know, so that's what's going on with him.
Sorry to hear that. Tell him that we'll pray for a speedy recovery.
Yes, yes.
All right, so tell me what's going on down there. What's going on when you're out there?
Well, we've been to, back at the old place there, you know, and where we had casted the print there. Kind of a little the same, but it's still very interesting, you know. Rock throwing at the huts, while we were in the hut, you know, in the past it was a lot of throwing, you know, but this time it was just like, you know, kind of like one or two rocks and you know, just let us know that they're there. Almost, you know, in the past, you know, what first got me calling you and Marco Bell a few years back, you know, was the whistling in the woods, you know, it almost sounds like whistling, but I think they're trying to imitate like birds that while they're out there, you know. And but other than that, you know, just like everybody else, you got, you know, trying to get a little more patient on the hard evidence there.
That's what it's all about, you know. You got to be patient with everything in life today. That's great. How's the weather been out there by you, son?
Right now it's been a little rainy, but cooler than last year.
Is it the humidity still up?
Yeah. That's good.
By the way, I heard from Youngblood today, ladies and gentlemen, especially you, Anthony. He told me to say hello to you.
Oh, tell him hello.
You know who Youngblood is?
Yeah.
Okay, he's over there in Afghanistan. He called me today, and he told me to give a shout-out to everybody out there, all of his fans.
And, he's in Afghanistan.
He's one hell of a boy. Kid's working 7 days a week. 12 hours a day, believe it or not. And he's stocking it away for a rainy day. He knew he couldn't do it here, but he's doing it over there, and they're taking care of him. And I'm very, very proud of him. It made me feel like $1 million. And he checks in with me every week. But he told me to say hello, especially to you, because he loved your help out there when we were out there in VA by you. You remember him, don't you?
Yes, sir, I do. You know, he's the one that helped get that tree stand up.
Boy, isn't he good at what he does?
He is. He certainly
sure is.
Is.
He's a total pro, man. Makes me feel like $1 million just to know him. He's
a good shot, too.
Just great. Listen, just mute yourself out. We're going to be going to this round table. I just want to make a couple of comments to the world out there. Stay tuned next week, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to have a super show for you. It'll be our 7th year anniversary show. We're probably going to do a two-hour show. We're going to put something together that will probably be spectacular, number one. Number two, I want to say good evening, good night, and to my Gigi, Miss Calabash, wherever you are. My heart, my soul go out to you, dear. Kudos and salutations. Till next time, America.
Well, everybody, we're going to start the thing here. I'm going to unmute everybody. We're going to start a little conference fund here. Anthony, you're unmuted. Bruce, you're unmuted. Bobby, if you want to be, you're unmuted. Greta, did you want to be unmuted? Jane, Jody, you're unmuted.
Uh-huh.
And Mac, you're unmuted. And Steve, you're on. So we have Mac, Steve, Jody, Tim, Bobby, Greta, Bruce, and Anthony.
Hello,
does anybody have any specific questions that they'd like to ask anybody?
Yeah, your first guest that was that Tim Markleville?
That was Tim, yes.
Yeah, he's one of the new researchers, is that right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean...
Go ahead,
Tim,
you can talk for yourself. I don't have to talk with you.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Hey, Tim. I was really interested in your experiences, because I know how excited you must be, you know, kind of like I was a few years ago when I had my experiences, and then 2 years ago when I had first sighting, because I was always looking out for in the areas was kind of suspicious. But I mean, just curious, are you casting any footprints while you're out there?
Actually, I haven't seen any footprints. You know, that was how come it was so easy for me to spot the feathers, because as I was walking into the area, that's what I was looking for, you know, footprints, because it was kind of like early in the morning, and it was kind of muddy a little because it's been raining in the area a little. But no, I haven't seen any footprints or anything like that. But that was how we spotted the feathers, because like on the way out, we were still looking down, and that's how. And actually, we found two turkey feathers and one crow feather. And I don't know what the significance of that is. That's just what happened, because it's like they were not there when we walked through,
But
I haven't seen any. It's just like a bunch of X's, bunch of tree breaks, a bunch of like trees, like they would be pushed over and like laid up against other trees, like real tall, I guess you would call it like a 45-degree angle,
Right, you're right. Well, I'm familiar with that.
and another significant thing I forgot to tell you guys earlier, the first time my son and I walked down there, there were some two logs like placed up against trees and they weren't from that area. And I noticed the second time that we went back, those logs were gone. I have pictures. It's like I took pictures of them the first time I went, and that was how I noticed it when I went back through the pictures. I noticed that the other time we went that they weren't there, and I went, when I went back, I noticed that they were removed.
Yeah, I experienced something similar like that a few years ago. There was actually a bunch of logs that were stacked up, and then I just happened to be in the same location, and I came back the next day, and they were, like, scattered about,
Right.
Good deal. Good luck. Get yourself some Plaster Paris, and be ready when you see that footprint.
Right. Well, thanks, man.
Sure.
Well, tonight we also have Jody on, and Jody hasn't been on here for a while. Jody, are you there?
Yes, I got a story for you.
Well, go right ahead.
Tell us.
Right, we moved up in these mountains. I mean, we're in the mountains, and I knew it was here, and then a few days later, Jane saw it in the middle of the day across the driveway into the woods up beside our house. And then I knew, my neighbor lives right beside me that rented me the cottage. Their pets, their kitties, the cats, they were not real little. They were, kind of big. And they were all killed and lined up. And I knew what killed them, and I didn't want to tell them. I looked at them good, because I've seen the kills before. I lived with them for 5 years, so I know how they kill. And it slit their guts open, not with a knife. It was radically ripped open. And it wasn't by a coyote or bear or panther or nothing like that. And they were lined up. So, and then where I followed the path, there was a branch, a big, you know, nice tree-sized branch broken off freshly where it went up the mountain right beside our house. And the cat, it was sad. I didn't want to go look at him, but I had to go see how they was killed. And when I saw it, I knew what did it. And then the other night, they do that chatting sound like human, but you can't understand it.
Yeah.
And the dogs wouldn't go down there. They were scared. And I was praying they wouldn't go down there because I knew what would happen. And the neighbor's dogs, and they're right beside us. And you can hear them barking, but they wouldn't go down. And you can hear them chatting right there on the hill. And they were talking back and forth. But you can't understand them.
Did you get any recordings, Jody?
No, I just stood there and listened. It was at night. It just happened. And I was outside, and there they was chatting, they was talking. But the cats, that was the saddest. I mean, the way they was killed. It was no animal to eat them or nothing like that. It was just they killed them and ripped their insides just from the, like down the middle, right down the stomach, down the chest, and it was ripped open that way. It was not a bite, tears, or nothing like that. You know, like some bit it, like, you know, an animal shaking it or anything like that. And they were lined up. That was the weird thing. They was lined up, and then. I followed the tracks. I could track them with their tree branches. How if you watch how they're broken or which way they're facing, you follow that, and that is their markings. I know their markings. I've lived with them. I know, and if you follow those, that's where they're heading. You know, the which way the branch is broken, or the sticks are facing. You know, and that's how I know which way they go.
I know what you mean about finding the cat because I just give you one example. Last year sometime I had found a fox that was torn apart and, you know, from you know, it was laying on his back and you could see its belly was ripped open and all.
That's how the cats were, yes. And that's how I've seen deers like that and stuff. And then I've seen a cow with its neck broke.
I found a pile of deer too, and you know Marco Bill had posted those pictures also.
But it's happening here too. I'm not scared anymore. It's like, you know, remember how I was scared? I was there for a while, trying to deal with it because I lived with them 5 years and it was pretty rough. You know, I had to learn their way, respect them, submit to them. You know, and so I held the gun on one. That was the first time. But it's getting better now. I learn them, but I respect them too. You know, it's like, just don't push them around. You know what I mean? You don't want to piss them off.
You're not
and
in the same
I
spot,
try to
are
respect
you?
Them. Huh?
You're not in the same spot, are you?
No, I'm
okay.
Not in the apartment. I'm in Bryson City, between Bryson and Cherokee.
No, you don't have to give me the details, but I recall where you said you live, and I remember you telling me they were coming. In the past radio shows, I remember you saying that they were coming, like, downstairs or something, right?
Yeah, we're up in the mountains now. I mean, we're up mountains. I mean, we're sick in them. and yep, they're here. And it didn't take long to know it either.
Okay.
And... I'm waiting for the dogs to get killed. That's what worries me, because they bark a lot. And I know they hate the barking. And I'm waiting for that. It's like, oh, please don't. You know, so I'm waiting. And
be careful.
It's going to happen. So I just feel sorry for the neighbors, because it's their pets. And I don't want to say, shut your dogs up, because they're going to get killed, you know. But it's going to happen.
Does anybody else have any questions for Jody, or anybody else have questions for anybody else? Tim, back.
Marco, I think
that group of creatures she's talking about are the more vicious types. The ones on the reservations we've seen, they haven't bothered animals or people, but I just think there's different types, and just like people, some are just hateful, some just, you know, just watching. I don't think you need to hem any of them up, or they're going to let you have it one way or another, but there's some that just like, I think that the animals, the creatures laid out there on the ground, I think that's a warning.
Yeah, the red eyes are scary to me. The yellow, greenish eyes aren't scary to me, but the red ones scare me.
I'm glad you said that, because I feel the same way. I feel like the red eyes are more, that's my personal opinion. That may be wrong, but I feel like the red eyes are one you better
be worried
about.
They're evil to me. I don't like them. I don't like the red eyes. I want to run from them. But the green, the yellow eyes, the yellowish green glow eyes, they glow real big. They don't scare me as bad as the red ones.
Well, Bruce, do you have any questions, my friend?
Yeah, I have a few things to say.
Sure.
You know, we live right in the middle of these Bigfoot over here. There's evidence all the way around northeast, south, and west. We've found evidence of the Bigfoot all around us. We have never encountered them, or, I mean, I did have an encounter, but he was just letting me know that he knew that I was there and that I was leaving. He did this about 3 or 4 times when we went to the mountain looking for him, and he knew that we was looking for him. How I don't know, but I think they're kind of supernatural. They got, I'm going to call it ESP or whatever it is. They have a knowing about them. The ones around here, they don't bother nobody. They're seen and heard, and you know, they leave evidence. Matter of fact, my friend Tim Sherchief, my other friend, they were out camping on the same creek where I took these Bigfoot pictures, footprints, and they found some hair out in the middle of a field along this creek. I don't know. It's not human hair. It's not horse hair. Not animal hair. Too thin for a horse, too thick for a human. I still got the hair, but they leave evidence and stuff around. They don't bother nobody, and I'm sure they want to communicate with us. Matter of fact, some of the tribesmen, they have sweats, and they can call these Bigfoots into the sweats. Bigfoot actually dance around in there. They dance Indian. I mean, you know, that might sound funny to you, but I've been invited to one, but you know, it's a supernatural thing, and I don't want to mess with it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kind of a spirit.
So you got to see them dance in the sweats?
No, you don't see them because the sweats are sealed, you know, covered, and it's dark in there. But you can hear them. You can feel the ground shake. You can hear them grunting and breathing. And, you know. A matter of fact, me and Donna found a ceremonial grounds up on this big hill. I heard the story that every spring when they have their ceremony up there, that Bigfoot comes up. He goes to the ceremony with them. I talk to these guys. They don't reveal anything. They won't tell you nothing. But we've seen the place where it actually happened. So, you know, it's Bigfoot or, it's deeper than anybody can realize, you know. It's something more to it. It's not just a Bigfoot out in the trees, you know. There's more to it than that.
Well, there's certainly a lot that we certainly don't know. I can guarantee you that.
Yeah.
And, well, I'd like to, it's getting kind of late now. But I'd like to thank everybody for coming on the show tonight and sharing with us. You just don't know how much I enjoy getting back with everyone. Thank you so much. Thanks for your time. Thanks for for the courage to come forward and share your stories with us. We really appreciate it. I will keep in contact with you all. Next week we're going to have a special, and it'll be our birthday special. And I'll be calling some of you.
Marco?
Yeah.
Feel free to give Tim my phone number since he's at Mississippi.
Sure. Sure.
Maybe
I sure will.
Maybe he and I can get together sometime.
Yeah, I sure will. Did you hear that, Tim?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I'll give you a call later and give you a Max phone number.
Max.
Okay.
Okay.
No problem.
Well, everybody, thank you so much for coming on the show tonight.
Sure.
We're going to see everybody next week. And as always, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. We'll see you next week. Take care now. Good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legends, tales, and facts.